Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 124 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Seth.
And I'm Matt.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Well, Matt, it is great to see you. If you are a frequent listener or watcher of the podcast, you're probably wondering where Brittany is if you missed last week. Unfortunately, Brittany has moved on to bigger and better things. We had to say a sad goodbye to her last week. But this week we have Matt, our publisher. So, Matt, how have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been good. I'll say Brittany's moving on to bigger, maybe, things. I don't know about better.
Nothing could be better than Attractions Magazine, but that's exactly. That's the common phrase,
bigger. Okay, we'll stick with that. I've been good. I got to go to a media event, which are few and far between ever since the pandemic, but you were there. We both got to go see Icebreaker and take a ride on her at SeaWorld Orlando.
Yes, we were both there, and we both got a couple rides on the new ride. It's, you know, not part of the things that we are going to talk about this week, but what was your first impression?
My first impression was it was a lot more intense than I expected it to be. When you look at it from the ground, you're like, okay, it goes up, back, and over a couple of hills, no big deal. But you can really feel the G-forces when you get pulled up to that, especially in the back, when you get pulled up to that, and a couple of airtime moments as well. So I thought it was a fun short ride.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I've been thinking of it as baby's first Velocicoaster. You do get some nice unexpected pops of airtime. The front row is pretty gentle. There's not a lot of forces in there. But if you're in the back row, you come up off some of those hills, and those shin guard restraints really grab on tight. You feel them when you're coming up out of that seat there.
I didn't notice the shin guards, but maybe it was where I was sitting. I wasn't in the very back. I was up one.
I think Premier is the one that designed that ride, and they use these kind of signature shin guards. They've got them on the Mummy and some other rides, and you either love them or hate them.
I know
you either really notice them or you don't.
It was very tight getting into the seat, I saw some people trying to cross over. Yep. Our team members, I call it at SeaWorld,
it's not really tight for them. Yeah, it's not the most big and tall friendly of ride vehicles. So test out that seat before you can. You know, it's I think if you're a big coaster junkie, it's not going to knock Mako or Manta off your top 10 list. But I think it's a solid addition for the kids. It's sort of a family coaster. Your baby's first launched coaster. So So without any further ado,
let's do it.
Let's get into the news. Well, the first item on our news this week is SeaWorld Orlando's Seven Seas Food Festival is returning on February 4th, and they've got some new offerings. SeaWorld's been doing a food festival, and it's been expanding year after year. This year is the biggest ever, with over 200 different offerings. They've got some brand new markets inspired by Ireland and Sicily. And this event is going to take place at SeaWorld Orlando. It's every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from February 4th all the way through May 8th. Matt, what are you looking forward to at this one?
As always, the food. I like just going through and picking out my favorites or things that look like they might be my favorites and try them out. And then, of course, there's concerts as well. And I got some pretty big names this year. So,
we've got Justin Moore, Flo Rida, Molly Hatchet. For those of you from the 80s like me, Vanilla Ice, Everclear, Asia featuring John Payne. Steve Aguirre from Journey. So a mix of, some current and some sounds a lot like a Universal Mardi Gras kind of concert lineup. I think some of those folks have crossed over the years.
It does. And I think you forgot to mention Low Cash, about whoever that is.
I skipped Low Cash because I don't know Low Cash. Sorry, Low Cash.
I'm sure somebody loves Low Cash. He wouldn't be there. But it's interesting. Vanilla Ice and Flo Rida will probably be the big names that I would think that's going to draw the most people. And if you're going to go to one of those concerts, make sure you get there pretty early, depending on who it is. If you want a really good seat, you want to get there over an hour early, half hour if you just don't care if you're in the back or whatnot.
Yeah, the seating is included with your regular park admission, but it can be can fill up early. Another option is you can go online and purchase reserve seating. They call it quote unquote best seats in the house. So if there's an act that you're really interested in, you might want to invest in some reserve seating. Something else to consider investing in is the tasting lanyards. They offer sampling lanyards with either 10 or 15 item options. And if you take advantage of those and you use them on some of the more expensive items, you can definitely save some money there. And annual pass holders can get an 18 sample lanyard for the price of a 15 this year.
Yeah, I definitely will probably be buying that pass holder one. That sounds like a good deal. I think I haven't done the math on this year, but it usually works out to about what, $5 or so per item when you use those.
And I think it's interesting that SeaWorld is bringing back the tasting lanyard. This event kind of runs right opposite, like I said, Universal's Mardi Gras. And Universal has also expanded their food offerings, like we talked about in a previous episode. But Universal has dropped the tasting lanyard that they had because I think it was just too good a bargain. Universal, it worked out to like $4-something per beer, which I think was the cheapest beer you could find in a theme park. at SeaWorld's not quite that good a value, but it is definitely a much better price with that lanyard than, say, going over to a food festival at Epcot.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Dave Smith, who is the Disney archivist and the founder of the Walt Disney Archives, has finally been honored with his own window on Main Street, USA. You might know that there's a longstanding tradition of honoring retired people who worked for Walt Disney or had a big impact on the company by giving them a custom painted window with their name and usually a little humorous thing describing their job. And those have always been hung along Main Street, USA in Disneyland first and then Walt Disney World. So Disney legend Dave Smith finally got his window on January 24th. It is in Disneyland above the Fortuosity shop along Main Street, USA. And I like the inscription. It says, New Century Historical Society, Dave Smith, Town Archivist, Preserving, Protecting, and Presenting Fond Memories of the Past. Matt, have you ever gotten a chance to meet Dave or talk to him?
I don't think so. I'm surprised if I haven't. I'm sure I have. I just don't remember. It's been a while.
I've never got to talk face to face, but we've seen him at so many events. You know, he was a staple at D23 events,
right.
You know, if you've got a copy of the Disney A to Z, which is basically the Disney Encyclopedia, that was all him. He passed away in 2019, but his sister was on hand for the ceremony. I wish he had been around to see it, but it's great that he finally received this honor. So next time you are in Disneyland, look up and take a look for Dave's window.
Yep.
Next, Disneyland Paris, across the pond, has unveiled its 30th anniversary celebration highlights. Hard to believe that it's been 30 years since Euro Disney, as it was then called, was open. But they are gearing up for their 30th, which the celebration is going to start on March 6th. The actual anniversary is April 12th. But they are adding some new entertainment to the parks. A new daytime show called Dream and Shine Brighter, which will be presented several times a day on Central Plaza in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle, which recently got a thorough refurbishment. But I think the really big news is they are bringing out a new show called Disney D-Lite. That's D-Lite. And it's a pre-show for the Disney Illuminations, which is the nightly fireworks show. It is the first show inside a Disney park to use drones. Matt, what do you think about Disney finally using drones inside a park above a castle?
It's about time. I expected this to be, I've been done already.
Right.
Of course, it was done in Disney Springs a few years ago with mixed results. Some nights you would go and it would look awesome. Another night you'd go, is that a big chicken? I don't get what that's supposed to be up there. So, but
it all depends on the wind.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The wind and technology has gotten a lot better. So I'm excited to see this. And I was recently on a cruise. Royal Caribbean had drones they used inside the theater, inside the show. Well, of course, you don't have to worry about wind in there, but there's other things to worry about. But it was
You're on a ship. You have to worry about the whole room moving around.
Yeah, the whole room might move. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I'm sure they can do it and do it well. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I remember seeing those original Intel drones over Disney Springs for the holidays. And, you know, they did that over a lake because back then they weren't so confident that, everything would work great and something wouldn't land on someone's head.
Right.
The fact that they're now doing this in the middle of a park over a castle must mean they have a lot more confidence in the technology. They're going to use this to form a sparkling figure 30 in the sky above Sleeping Beauty Castle. And there's going to be a new theme song played in the background, a new theme song created called A World of Light. It's got a French name that I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce. It's all part of the celebrations. There's also going to be Gardens of Wonder with kind of abstract sculptures of different Disney characters placed around that you can find. And of course, it's not a Disney anniversary without lots of food and merchandise. Stella McCartney, the famous designer, is going to be marketing a unique Mickey t-shirt as part of International Women's Rights Day. And there will be other items that you can invest in if you want to be chic with a sort of a redesigned look at Minnie Mouse. So a lot of stuff going on.
We should talk about that because
should we talk about Minnie Mouse?
I mean, just to set the record straight that she's been in pantsuits before. Captain Minnie on the cruise line from a few years ago was wearing pants. So it's been overblown on national news that she's going to be wearing a pantsuit. And I mean, it's her first one at Disneyland Paris, but she's had many other outfits where she wasn't wearing a dress. So I just wanted to set that record straight.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Duck runs around with no pants on at all. No one says a word, but Minnie puts on a pair of pants, and otherwise, all of a sudden, it's national news. and of course, they've also got the Avengers campus that's going to be opening up during the 30th anniversary, and they've got the new hotel, New York Art of Marvel, opened last year. So a lot of stuff going on if you're planning on visiting Disneyland Paris. Next up, we've got two stories back to back that kind of tie together. The first is that the Disney Cruise Line is launching Pixar Day at Sea. On all 7-day sailings of the Disney Fantasy ship in the early part of 2023, you will be able to spend a day celebrating Pixar stories with friends from Toy Story, Monsters Incorporated, The Incredibles, Finding Nemo, and more. It's going to include character encounters, dance parties, there'll be a theatrical musical experience, and it all ends up with a special deck party. Matt, I know you've been on a ton of Disney cruises and have done various days at sea. What do you think of this look at Pixar?
I think it's going to be fun. I don't think it's going to be on the level of a Star Wars or a Marvel Day at Sea, just because Pixar as a whole doesn't have the fan base that a Star Wars does or even a Marvel. So it'll be cool to be walking around everywhere you turn on the Pixar Day. You'll see these different characters doing things and special shows. I'd love to experience it, and I'm sure it's going to be fun. Just not going to have the quite the fan base that the other two have.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I did think was interesting is that they are giving you a character dining experience at both breakfast and dinner. You know, when you're on a 7-day Disney cruise, you know, Disney's famous for the restaurants each have a different theme that you rotate through. And some of them have shows like Animator's Palette. But basically, if you're on a cruise that's longer than 4 days, you've rotated through and you've seen all of the standard shows in there. So this is like adding a whole new dining experience. For example, if you are having dinner at Animator's Palette, it will become an undersea occasion, and Finding Nemo characters are going to come and visit you. And at breakfast, there's going to be a cowboy sing-along breakfast with Woody and Jesse and Bullseye from Toy Story. So I think that's kind of a neat addition. So this is going to be on 9 select Disney Fantasy cruises running between January and March 2023. So get online with your travel agent ASAP, because these kind of things always book up really quick. And speaking of, as you mentioned, Marvel Days at Sea, the Marvel Day at Sea is returning to the Disney Dream in 2023. The largest assembly ever of Marvel superheroes and villains on one ship together on the Disney Dream beginning January 7th for 9 5-night Western Caribbean sailings out of Miami. You know, the first thing I think of when I see this is, you know, everyone is talking about the new ship that is under construction and launching soon. I think this is a way for them to get some attention and some bookings back on the older ships. You know, they got to make sure, that there's, you know, not the sense that, going on one of their older ships is lesser than, booking a cruise on the new one.
Yeah. This seems like, I'm sure excitement for the Wish is what everybody's, mm-hmm. you know, so they got to bring yep. some excitement to the other ships as well. And then, yep. It's interesting, this one, doesn't list anything new happening for Marvel Day at Sea. So if you've done it before, it seems like it's just going to be the same thing again.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of fun character encounters, and I'm sure that will probably be some new characters, maybe from more recent movies or Disney Plus shows. It doesn't look like there are any really new activities that they are hyping on this quite yet.
Yeah, you would think they want to bring out some of the Disney Plus characters, maybe Loki. And,
yes,
and
I want a different Loki too. Variant on every.
Yeah, exactly.
Cruise.
And they might do that still, just because it doesn't say there's anything new doesn't mean there won't be anything new.
So. Yeah. So if you are interested in one of these, you are looking at a Western Caribbean itinerary departing between January 7th and March 4th. They also have a Western Caribbean's between January 16th and February 27th. Both of those are going to include Castaway Cay, but they vary in their other ports. And as always, consult your travel agent for more details, or head on over to the Disney Cruise Line website.
Or visit our sponsor.
Or visit our sponsor. Yeah, travel. Absolutely. Visit our sponsor, Destination with Character Travel. If you are interested in heading on over to Legoland Florida, you have a new option for a place to stay. They have added new Lego Ninjago themed rooms to the Legoland Hotel at Legoland Florida Resort. They are going to be available starting on April 1st. There's only 12 of them, but if you stay in one of these rooms, you will get a complete Lego Ninjago experience, including an in-room scavenger hunt where kids can solve hidden rooms, solve hidden clues inside the room, and you can unlock new treasures every day. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I believe they have these scavenger hunts in all the different themed rooms, but mm-hmm. this one will be, of course, themed to Ninjago. Yep. Sounds like, you know, if you're a fan of Ninjago, why wouldn't you want to come stay in one of these rooms?
Yeah. There are, of course, Lego bricks in every room. So your kids can build a ninja fortress inside the room. And they've got all the other standard amenities of the Legoland Hotel, like the complimentary on-demand on the TVs, and a Keurig coffee maker and Wi-Fi. You can get the their own Legoland Times newspaper delivered right to your door every day. And of course, that door is just 130 kid steps away from the front gate of the theme park. I've not personally stayed overnight in Legoland Hotel, but my brother did with my niece and nephew, and they had a great time. I've heard really good things about the room designs and also the customer service there.
Yeah, you can't beat how close it is to the theme park. It's just, I don't know. Well, I guess, you know, California, there's that one's about the same, and then in Japan, but it's super close.
Oh yeah, amazingly convenient. And here in Orlando at Icon Park, they are hosting their fourth annual Sip and Savor event. This is bringing a little kind of theme park food and wine event to International Drive. It's happening on Saturday, January 29th, which is today. So if you are listening to this live, great. If not, jump in your DeLorean time machine and head back in time to today.
Well, I'm sure they're going to have another one since this was, fourth annual. So
I didn't realize they've been doing this for 4 years already.
Yeah, it's really a low-key thing. I even saw somebody, we tweeted out about it, and Icon Park tweeted back and said, oh, we can't wait. And somebody else said, well, I don't see any information about this on your website. And it's like, they don't really promote it too much besides sending out a press release to people like us. So I assume that's probably because they sell out so quickly, they don't need to.
So if you're listening to us live, head on over right now. They're open until 5 o'clock today. Participating restaurants include Carrabba's Italian, Shake Shack, Tapatoro, Sloppy Joe's, Buffalo Wild Wings, Sugar Factory, Tin Roof, several others. And if you buy a plate for $7, you get half off a ride on the wheel. So that's a really good deal. If you are not able to run over right as we're recording this, mark this on your calendar for next year. Parking's free as always. So if you haven't checked out Icon Park lately, which is home to the new slingshot and drop tower that we survived not long ago.
head to our YouTube channel.
Good excuse. Yes, please head to our YouTube channel and watch me in terror. and visit iconparkorlando.com for more information on that event. Circling back to Legoland, let's talk a little about Legoland New York. The newest Legoland park is going to start the 2022 season, which will be their first full season of operation on April 8th. This is new Legoland Park in upstate New York. It's not too far north of New York City. And it was, it sort of got off to a rough start because of COVID, delaying their opening and cutting short their opening season. But they are opening back up and they're going to have a full season, which is going to include some seasonal events that you'll be familiar with from the Legoland in Florida, such as the Red, White, and Boom celebration on July 4th, and an even bigger Brick or Treat Halloween bash, and their first ever Christmas Bricktacular. And they've also made some changes to the park, including adding a new splash area for kids to play in, that's a water playground over in Lego City. And something I thought was really interesting, one criticism the park got when it first opened was there were some spots where it was difficult to navigate. So they've added some new pathways and stairways that are going to connect the Miniland with Ninjago World and make it easier to navigate around the Lego Castle and Lego City areas. Matt, I don't think you've personally gotten up to Legoland New York yet, have you?
No, I have not. In fact, the only Legoland I've been to is the one in Florida. I need to get out to some other ones.
I've done the one in California, but this one's on my list. I've got family up there, and I'm looking to kidnap some nieces and nephews and take them up there.
Yeah, you probably won't have to convince them very, very much. I think from what I can tell, most of the Legolands are similar in their attractions and build, but yep. they're all in, seem to be in beautiful land locations with beautiful views. So
yep. And each one does have, they share a lot of the same attractions and lands, but each one has something unique. The signature ride is Lego Factory Adventure, which is a trackless dark ride, which I believe won some awards this year.
We got to, at IAAPA convention a couple of years ago, we got to try out the technology on that turns you into a minifigure, and that was pretty fun. So I'm excited to ride that ride at some point.
A lot of fun. So head on over to Legoland in New York, their website, or contact Destinations with Character Travel to book a vacation.
They'll help you. Yep.
Here's something that I'm pretty excited about. Area 15 in Las Vegas, which is home to the Las Vegas Meow Wolf and a whole bunch of other neat attractions, is opening up on February 3rd a new attraction called Liftoff. And this is a open air balloon from the same company that does the characters in flight balloon over in Disney Springs. But this is got a Vegas twist to it. It is an open air system where you're kind of strapped into a seat with your feet dangling, and then you'll lift up 130 feet in the air. And because this is Las Vegas, you can do it with an alcoholic drink in your hand.
Did it say you can take the drink with you, or do you drink the drink before you?
Yes. Riders can either enjoy an alcoholic or non-alcoholic drink in the open air lounge at the base of the balloon, or you can buy it. An imbibe and ride package. I believe that runs about $26. And take your libation with you to the top of a tower. You get a nice slow 7-minute ascent. It turns 360 degrees. So you get a good view. This is not actually on the Las Vegas Strip. It is right off the Strip. Like I said, at the Area 15 complex, where there's just more and more stuff, art, restaurants, virtual reality. If you want to check this out, a ticket without a drink starts at $12 for kids and $18 for adults. Have to be at least 42 inches tall. If you want to bring a drink with you, that starts at $26. If you heard of something like this before, but you're a little confused, this is now called Liftoff, but I believe in the early press releases, they called this Rise. If you're a little confused, but I think that combine this with spending a few hours at Meow Wolf and some of the other things that they have here, I definitely think Area 15 is going to take up at least a full day of my next trip to Las Vegas.
Yeah, it seems interesting. This is similar, like you said, to the one at Disney Springs, but I guess the difference is you're sitting down, strapped in, and it also looks like it's surrounded by something, so that avoids the wind rocking it back and forth very much.
That's
why you won't spill your drink.
Exactly. It's got the one at Disney Springs is notorious for either not running at all or running at a lower altitude because of wind pushing it around. But as you can see, this has got kind of an artistic tower structure built around it, and it looks like that will help keep it contained. So this will not go out flying over the Las Vegas Strip, hopefully.
I want them to build one like this where you're strapped in, you're facing out, but nothing to keep it from blowing around. So you can almost like a ride. You just can blow back and forth.
You didn't get on the slingshot or on the drop tower.
No,
so you think you're going to get on that? Come on. Let's just get in here. And our last bit of news in the queue. Actually, we have two last bits. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Both of them from Walt Disney World. The first is that Walt Disney World is adding some more entertainment for the 50th anniversary.
Adding
back some more live entertainment. We are getting, first of all, Disney Adventure Friends Cavalcade, which they're calling a supersized procession along the parade route in the Magic Kingdom that will feature almost 30 characters from classic and recent Disney and Pixar movies. That one is kicking off on February 11th. It's going to run a few times a day. And it's going to include characters from Zootopia, Three Caballeros, Jungle Book, Brave, Moana, and more. But the highlight of that is definitely going to be Miguel from Coco appearing for the first time in the Magic Kingdom. And it's a 20-minute cavalcade. So that's, I think that's stretching the definition of what a cavalcade. Cavalcades used to be a little 2-3 minute. 20 minutes is a pretty long cavalcade. We're also getting back the Mickey's Magical Friendship Fair four-court stage show at the castle starting February 25th. That's going to be back a couple times a day with a new opening, an updated finale, and of course everyone will be wearing their iridescent costumes for the 50th anniversary and singing the specially written theme song, Where the Magic Feels Like Home. That is the big news, however, is March 9th. Write that one down, because Festival of Fantasy Parade is finally coming back on the anniversary of its original debut in 2014. We've definitely missed this big daytime parade. Most importantly, the fire-breathing Maleficent Dragon is coming back. They promise he'll be back breathing fire. I'm sorry, she will be back breathing fire. That will be good to see. And they've also teased some other things coming back, such as Finding Nemo, which will hopefully be returning in a new form to Animal Kingdom in the summer.
Yeah, it's interesting that cavalcade sounds really cool. I assume that's going to kind of replace the different cavalcades that they've have been doing. So it'll be probably be this one cavalcade that's several times a day and the parade once a day. So
yeah, that makes sense. Rather than running all of these little mini cavalcades, to combine them together into one super cavalcade.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see the dragon return. I hope it doesn't set anyone or anything on fire. it's been too long. This is mostly really good news, because these kind of things require a lot of labor. So it means more performers back at work. And that is a good thing.
Yep.
And the other Walt Disney World news that we have is that the Guardians of the Galaxy Xandarian Star Blaster spaceship has landed at Epcot and been installed in front of the Cosmic Rewind attraction that is replacing Universe of Energy. This is a major step forward for the exterior theming of the building. If you remember the Guardians of the Galaxy film, these are the angular yellow ships that came together in a big swarm to create a shield at the end of the film. And those were all CGI in the movies, but we've got a real life one being installed on a pylon out in front of the attraction that will be the first thing to greet guests as they walk on to the new Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster ride, which is scheduled to open this summer. We don't know anything more specific than summer, but summer is coming. Matt, you gotta help me out with something here. Okay. I've heard people say that there is a hidden Mickey in the support structure for this. I can't see it. Help me. Which picture should I be looking at here to find this hidden Mickey?
Our reporter Theron took these photos and wrote that up, and I think he's reaching a little bit.
it's all kind of angular. I don't see any.
Yeah, no, right there is what he's pointing as a hidden Mickey. See the two round points at the top where they still have to install those. That's kind of what he's not saying that it's an actual hidden Mickey they've created. He's just saying it kind of looks like one.
Are you saying this?
Yeah. That's what he's calling it out.
Are we saying that this isn't complete? There's still something that's going to be bolted on there. It looks like something's missing, like that.
Yeah, I think it's just two more spears the ones that are already sticking out.
I gotcha. So two more of those arms.
I think two more are going to be installed up on top there.
Okay. I will have to run this past Steve Barrett, who is the author of the of the Hidden Mickey guidebooks, but I think he's gonna call a red flag on this.
Yeah,
point.
I think so too.
I don't know. You folks write in, tell us. I don't know. Do we have anyone in the comments who is? No one in the comments seems to think it's. No. Yeah.
I haven't seen this in person. Theron told me it's much more impressive in person and much larger. It appears much larger than it does through the
photos. Well, I mean, when you see the scale here, you know, next to this high lift, right. Knowing that, you know, that high lift there is taller than a person.
It's probably so 12 this, foot or 15
this is
foot.
This is going to make a great photo op for sure.
The little cart next to it is probably 12 or 15 foot.
Yep.
So that's probably once they get the spears up on top.
Yeah, this is really going to be impressive. 35 feet or so. Probably.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get some photos. I'm thinking getting some photos with that with Spaceship Earth in the background, if that's possible.
Good cover image for an upcoming issue.
Maybe the summer fall issue.
All right. And I believe it is now time. We have finished the news in the queue. See, Brittany is so good at smoothly transitioning, but I've got to look at my notes here.
It's time for our sponsor.
I've got to look at my notes. Yes, absolutely. So right now it is time for us, before we get into the main attraction, to have a word from, where is our word from our sponsor? There we go. Let's have a word from This is so, we're going to have to edit this in post. No. We're going to leave this all so you can see a little behind the scenes. Keep it raw. Here we go.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort? Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise? Or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
All right, and if you did not guess, this week's main attraction is...
You got to play the main attraction.
Oh, sir. I'm so sorry.
Our friend Gray. Right.
I'm definitely going to have to... We'll fix all this in post. Let's try it again.
It's time for the main attraction.
There, that's better. As I was saying.
I was going to say that voiceover is done by our friend Greg, who lives in Vegas, and he was on screen a little earlier in his report from Area 51. So
he would be so sad if I skipped over. Sorry, Greg. So, as I was saying, if you had not already guessed, this week's main attraction, the big news is that Universal Orlando has finally officially announced that Epic Universe, their new theme park, will open by summer of 2025.
23 more years.
Yeah. You know, this is Universal, so they did not make like a press release or a. This is something that slipped out in a conference call, an earnings call with parent company Comcast on January 27th. And basically, executives were being quizzed by financial people, and NBC Universal CEO Jeff Shell made the announcement. He said that the park construction is going, quote, full steam ahead. And that they expect it to open, quote unquote, certainly by the summer of 2025. So it could even be earlier. It could maybe be spring of 25, but summer of 2025 at the latest. This is good news because we've had, some speculation and unofficial reports. I know Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings had said sometime in 2025, but this is the first time we've had a Universal executive confirm a window since, you know, it was originally supposed to open in 2023, and then the pandemic hit and they put the brakes on construction. And then last year they resumed construction full speed, but we're never quite sure how far behind they got put. So now we know, start marking your calendars for a, vacation Orlando in summer of 2025.
And sometimes in these, earnings calls, an executive will say something and they weren't supposed to say it, or they say it wrong, but we know this one is confirmed because Universal retweeted or tweeted something saying 2025.
Yes, so Universal's social media account. Just all they tweeted was like summer 2025 and like smiling sunglasses face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was our confirmation that what he said was correct.
Right. There's a lot of stuff that's got to happen. You can head on over to our website. There's a lot of people doing great work, including BioReconstruct, Alicia Stella, digging into those permits and doing construction flyovers. So even though it just looks like dirt right now, there's a lot of important infrastructure work going on right now. Something important to note is that they are relying on the county and the state to complete an expansion of Kirkman Road through the Lockheed Martin property that's going to connect the old Universal to the new Universal. And that project, I don't believe, is scheduled to be completed until sometime in 2024. So there's only so fast that they can build the theme park if they don't have a road to take people to the theme park. But this is definitely great news. That this is, as they say, moving full steam ahead. It's also good news overall for the health of Universal Orlando. Their overall revenue just shot up. The company overall went up $1.2 billion compared with 2020. And a huge portion of it has been the rebound at Universal Orlando. They're basically saying that they had the most successful quarter in the resort's entire history, not just since COVID, but from before COVID.
Yeah, if you scroll back down to that, the $1.2 billion, I think it's actually the end of that. The annual revenue went from $2 billion to $5 billion.
$5 billion. So that's an enormous.
Yeah, program. That's a big jump.
Yeah.
And I assume that's all of NBC Universal.
Yes.
And I assume Comcast as well. But maybe not. Maybe it's just NBC.
Yeah, that's NBC Universal. Okay. And the theme park division
is part of that.
Had a really big comeback, especially Florida. Beijing, they basically broke even because they had a lot of opening expenses and restrictions. Japan had some tough issues with having to had closures for COVID. And California has also kind of struggled a little with more stringent restrictions than they have in Florida, but Florida is doing gangbusters. If you were under the illusion that like crowds were still low because of COVID in Florida, we're back to where we were before and higher.
Yep. And this once this opens, it's only going to bring them more revenue. And I know they'll have to be a while before they make up the revenue they spent on it, but it's not going to be too long.
They're taking a major, it's a major investment, but I don't think I'd say it's a major risk because all signs point to the market really having a lot of demand that's pent up. And in 3 years, I think this place is going to, people are going to be knocking down the doors to get in.
And this is also going to house the Super Nintendo World. It'll be the third one worldwide, second one in the United States, because the one in Hollywood will open first. But the one in Hollywood is going to be limited to, I think, just the Super Mario Kart ride. So the fact that this one's going to have so much more.
Be the largest Super Nintendo World. It'll be the most complete because it will have Mario, Donkey Kong, Yoshi, and possibly some other things that we have.
Yeah, I was going to say the one in Japan is adding Donkey Kong, but I'm thinking this one may open with Donkey Kong.
And, yes. Understanding that the plan is for it to open completely built out with everything that Japan has, maybe plus some extras.
Yeah, and then it hasn't been officially announced, but from what we've seen with leaked concept art and models, Donkey Kong will be a roller coaster ride that goes indoors and outdoors, and with some new technology for making jumps and things, or simulated jumps. So it looks like that's really going to be awesome.
Yeah, there's a video floating around. You might be able to find it on the interwebs of the prototype. They call it a boom coaster. And it's a system where The car is suspended on a pole above the actual track, and there's a fake track above the real track that can have gaps in it. So it makes it look like you are leaping over chasms when you're really attached to a hidden track the whole time. It's a really interesting system and should make for a fun ride. In addition, we know from leaks and rumors that we're probably going to see How to Train Your Dragon get a whole land. The Universal classic monsters like Frankenstein and Dracula are going to have a land. And we're going to see more Wizarding World, most likely based around one of the ministries of magic in London or Paris.
It's, you know, originally it was going to be, from what we heard, originally it was going to be the new series of Potter. What's it called?
Fantastic Beasts, which has not really clicked with the fans the way they thought. There's still some great visuals, though. Even if you don't love the movies, you know, the Paris environment, I think, would be a really cool space to walk
around. And that could still happen. From what we've heard, they've kind of, with the pandemic pause, it's given them, you know, a chance to maybe rethink that.
I think there's a lot of shuffling going around. They've got a lot of ideas for attractions. We've seen ideas for virtual reality rides with broomsticks. We've seen ideas for interactive drop towers with video projections, interactive trackless rides, shows. I think a lot of these ideas are going to happen, but it's a question of what exactly is going to go where, you know. Something is definitely going into Universal Studios Florida, next to the Diagon Alley where Fear Factor Live was, and that could be part of the puzzle that was originally intended for Epic Universe. Someday I want a documentary about behind the scenes of, you know, what went on in Universal Creative when they initially, you know, developed this idea, and then when the pandemic hit and they had to hit the brakes, and so many people got let go and plans changed. I would love to see a real behind the scenes of, we'll never see it, but no, I would love to know.
We won't officially see it. If somebody could get somebody to talk and we could get an unofficial document there,
but maybe in 20 years, we'll get it open up.
I mean, there's so much more to that story with, Disney turning down Harry Potter and that sort of thing too.
So. It could definitely be a novel. So thank you for sticking with me and my many mistakes. We've just about reached the end, but before we say goodbye, we do have some listener thank yous to share. In case you don't know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription plan, and if you choose either the club or VIP tiers, the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out from us here on the podcast. So this week, we are giving thanks to Jerry McTavish, Thomas Waterhouse, Kathy Sampaga, Karen Sacchitello, Constance Duden, Albert Schiffer, Stephen Symes, Diane Magada, Stacy Corcoran. Thank you all for subscribing.
Thank you very much.
If you would like to hear your name shout out, please head on over to our website and sign up. While at our website, you can also pick up an issue of Attractions Magazine, like our winter issue.
Which I don't.
Oh, you're supposed to Vanna White it right here. Come on. All right. Well, before we go, finally, I want to give one more thank you to our sponsor, Destination with Character Travel. Once again, thank you for supporting us. And I want to remind all of you listeners to please go give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Finally, if you want to find more coverage from us, from Attractions Magazine throughout the week, you can find me personally on theunofficialguides.com or on Twitter at the UG Series or at the Unofficial Guides on Instagram. But Matt, where can they find you in Attractions Magazine?
Attractions, you can find at Attractions on Twitter and TikTok, Attractions Magazine on Instagram and on YouTube. And then if you want to follow me, Matt Boom on Twitter, Attractions Matt on Instagram.
Awesome. All right. Well, we made it to the end.
Yes.
Yay. Thank you for bearing with us. And I promise it'll get smoother. I can never replace Brittany, but I'll try. I'll try to get it right next time.
Yep. And we're going to probably have some different guest hosts. I don't know
exactly who
will be on next week, but we're working on some different ideas.
If you know someone who would make a good guest host, send us a message. Let us know. Send us your suggestions.
Yep.
And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun, and we'll see you next time. Bye.